is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody, welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Three-time Super Bowl winning executive and strategist Michael Lombardi going to be on one side of your screen, myself, Stormy Bonantoni, on the other. Big show, lots of NFL news and notes to get to. The NBA is tipping off later tonight, so we're lucky to have our all-sport GM, Will Hill, join the show later on this hour, also in hour two.
Of course, yes.
Of course, right? So we'll also get into some college football a little bit later. We got some futures, a look ahead to week nine this weekend with Aaron Moore, who will join us. But Michael, your article that you wrote today, which we'll talk about more later on in the show, but I love that on a day that we're talking all things NFL, the trade deadline approaching and all the things, you opened up your article with a reference to the 76ers and how hard that fandom has been for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, it starts the season off the right way. I love how the season started and Bradley Beal's got a little back spasm. They're going to rest him. He's not going to play. I mean, it's like, okay, great. I mean, why start the season in October if nobody's going to play? We'll see. But, yeah, I it kind of was a way to start the column. I wanted people to realize that, A, I am a fan of some sport, of a fan. I'm not this cynical way. They made me this cynical way. I was normally a happy person. And two, you know, I mean, all these teams, they want to tank. And everybody draws a comparison between football and in the NBA, and they're worlds apart, right? And NFL teams don't have to tank. It's self-instituted into the program. When you don't have a starting quarterback and you're playing backups, you're tanking.
Yep. Like I said, I'm excited to get into that conversation later. Where we will start the show, though, is our Monday Night Football autopsy. And I use that word not because the San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl hopes are dead or anything like that, but because of how lifeless they looked at the end of the game when you have two opportunities, game on the line, and your quarterback, who hadn't thrown multiple interceptions in a game in his career to this point, throws two in the fourth quarter when you can't have it, when you need a response with the game on the line, Michael.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they had their chances. I think what you have to understand is every great team in this league is not elite in terms of they're not going to be vulnerable. And when the Niners don't play from in front, okay, the 49ers have failed with Kyle Shanahan. When they trail by 8 points or more into the fourth quarter, they've lost 37 straight games. Why is that? I've said it numerous times on the program. I've said it on my pod. Their whole system is predicated on play action pass, running the football. Last night, if you take out the Purdy run of 17 yards, they had 21 carries for 48 yards in the game. That's not how you win again. That's not how Kyle Shanahan can call a good game. And so all the attention gets focused on Purdy's interceptions. And obviously, he didn't make the plays when they needed him to make them. Last week, he did. The kicker didn't make it. Mm-hmm. But I think what we see is vulnerability in San Francisco when they don't play from in front, when they don't have that lead, when they can't just continue to run the football and balance their attack. And their defense, you know, is somewhat vulnerable. I mean, Minnesota punted one time in the game. They controlled the ball for pretty much all the game. I mean, they had the ball, I think, like 35 minutes. Basically, they had the ball the whole time. So I think that's two. Second, I got to ask you, as a 49er fan, I've seen a lot of bad calls offensively. We don't talk bad calls defensively. But I think the zero blitz call at the end of the half might be one of the worst calls I've seen since Greg Williams went zero blitz against, I forget who it was, they threw the touchdown pass to beat the Jets. I mean, just you're not knowing the situation. Minnesota had no more timeouts. You don't need to blitz them there. You could rush two. They were, if they throw the ball in bounds, they were never going to have enough time to kick the field goal. And yet you give up seven at that situation, and essentially it cost you the game. What I find fascinating, Stormy, is, and you're a 49er fan, you know, they talk glowingly about the 49ers, and rightly so. But this is a seven-year project. Kyle's been coaching for 105 games. He's only 9 games over 500. Like, they've had their bumps in the road that no one seems to remember.
Yeah, I mean, they've been good in recent history, right? And so I think that kind of overshadows the team that he had to take over, which was not good, had highs and lows, especially when it comes to injuries for the San Francisco 49ers that have derailed what looked like they could be good seasons. And so I look at the window of the 49ers as pretty narrow right now because of all of the talent that they have, how much some of these contracts are going to cost here in the near future. With Brock Purdy still on the deal that he is for, you know, the next two seasons, I kind of think that's the window of opportunity for the San Francisco 49ers to really get over the hump and win a Super Bowl. So you hope that things can come together and that injuries aren't going to cause a big enough problem this year. But now we look where they're at, dropping back-to-back games. And you talk about this team not being able to have success playing from behind. Fred Warner talked about that post-game yesterday. He said that they need to find a way to win those grimy games, right? He said, obviously we can win 30-10, but who are we and what are we going to do when we're down and we've got to come back and win a game? And we haven't seen them in a situation where they've been able to do that yet. Kirk Cousins, to your point about the defense, throws for 378 yards, the fourth most against a Kyle Shanahan coach team, period. And so they got to figure some things out here moving forward, and they've got to do it fast because they have a Cincinnati Bengals team that's coming off a bye this coming week that they have to take on, and a challenging schedule the rest of the way.
Right. And look, the two things didn't happen last night. They made a huge coaching blunder at the end of the half. Okay, so they give up seven there. They have no business giving up seven there. And if they would have been able
Ward
to...
And Charvarius Ward still should have gotten that interception. He still had his hands on the football.
Exactly. As bad as the call is, he was in position to make the play, right? And so as bad as they played in the game, allowing Kirk Cousins to have one of his finest days ever national television, you know, to do that, they still had every opportunity to win the game, and their defense was effective. I thought Kevin O'Connell's play calling was great. I thought he understood how to attack the 49ers defense, how to handle the situations, how to expect it, how to stay out of third down, not let that pass rush really get going. They had no sacks in the game. They only had five tackles for losses, and they only got their hands on five footballs. And two of them almost were interceptions. One was an interception, and one almost was. So, I mean, there's a lot there that you can get angry about, but there's also a lot to say they're going to get better. And they get a Cincinnati team. Orlando Brown's says he's going to play. He's not 100% healthy. We'll see. I think this 49er front, when they play from in front, all of a sudden it becomes a different team to block.
Yeah, with Kirk Cousins, too, just because you mentioned the national stage for him, I think it's probably time that we kind of put to bed that primetime narrative a little bit. Yes, I know Monday Night Football, he now improves to 3-12, and it's bad. But also, at home in primetime with Minnesota, he's 6-3. The last couple of games, he's had solid performances, so leave the guy alone. Also, have a day, Jordan Addison. First-round rookie wide receiver, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns on 7 catches. Obviously, the play that we just referenced that was awful for the 49ers side of things, a great play for the young rookie. And now, Michael, as we kind of think about Minnesota big picture moving forward, are they a playoff team now? You can bet them 2-1 to make the playoffs this year. This is a team that was 1-4 not too long ago, and everybody's talking about, hey, the trade deadline's coming up. Let's ship off assets, get Kirk Cousins out of here because you're going to start the rebuild now, myself included saying this. They beat the Bears. You still think, oh, who cares? You couldn't move the football. But now you beat the San Francisco 49ers, and you're showing progress, a legit performance. You're 3-4. The schedule ahead feels like there's a lot of potential opportunity. You go twice against Green Bay, Atlanta, New Orleans, Denver, Chicago, Vegas. Tough games at Cincinnati and home versus the Lions, but you're going to get Justin Jefferson back. If Jordan Addison keeps playing like this, if TJ Hawkinson continues to be a good security blanket for Kirk Cousins, why couldn't they make the playoffs?
Well, they could easily make the playoffs. All they have to do is stop the red zone turnovers. We said that earlier in the year. For all the luck they had last year, they've had no luck this year. I mean, they've turned the ball over in every single game, Now, in the last 2 weeks, their defense has created six turnovers, which is why they've won, because they've given the ball away the last 3 weeks just one time. But when they're able to not turn the ball over in the red zone, I mean, look, they've got Kansas City, got a chance to tie that game in late in the game. I mean, the Charger game, they could have easily won, but they turn it over in the red zone. So I kind of think, to me, they can. Because right now, when I looked at it and wrote my column this morning, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the 7th seed as a wild card.
Yeah.
That's not going to last.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to last. I mean, somebody's got to get in. There's got to be 7 teams from the north. And when we were all working on the football guide this summer – you know, I kept thinking, well, maybe Detroit won't make it. And I kept saying to myself, well, how do you keep them out? Like, what good team can get in there? And I think that's the argument for Minnesota. They certainly have the ability to win in Green Bay. They have the ability to win in Atlanta. They can win at home against New Orleans. They can go to Denver and win, and they can win at home against – I mean, they can potentially win the next five games. They could also lose three of the next five games too. So I think it's all about can they protect the football. But the way Cousins is playing – and the way they're maneuvering around the no-run game that they really don't have, I think they do miss Cook. They can't really run the football. I think it's helped them. And look, they're 32nd in rushing attempts. I think O'Connell realizes that every time I call a run, it's probably not going to work.
Yeah, the turnovers, though, to your point, have been a big problem for Minnesota. Only two teams in the entire league have more than their 14 at this point. But Cousins lead in the NFL right now with 16 touchdown passes. His 2,057 yards are just about 30 less than Tua Tagovailoa, who leads the league in that statistic. And they're in that eighth spot in the NFC right now. So they're just staring at that wild card. And I trust them more than I trust the third team in the NFC East and the third team in the NFC West and even the second team in the NFC South, right? So, like, I feel like the opportunity is there. So maybe this is a good 2-1 number. Grab the Vikings while you can at a plus money number to have them make the postseason. The Vikings are taking on the Packers this coming week as a 1-point dog. Oh, did that change? That might have changed. 1-point dog, what I see right now, 42.5 the total. 49ers laying 5.5 against Cincinnati when they return to action this coming weekend. Total 46. We've got the trade deadline coming up a week from today. One trade was made yesterday. We'll discuss when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check the top VSiN experts leaderboard as well to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe. And you need to do it because, like we talked about yesterday, Michael Lombardi has been on a heater the last couple of weeks. Perfect this past weekend with your NFL official plays on the Sunday show, Michael. So that picks page is getting more and more important by the day.
Yeah, I hope I keep it going. I got a good one last night from Russo, you know, so he took San Francisco. So now he's, you know, one game behind me and I continue to get the T-box. He loves saying, oh, you got the T-box to go first. Like it really matters. So, you know, when he lost last night, I didn't send him, I got the T-box again today, but we'll see. He'll be on his rampage tomorrow.
Well,
so once we get that handled, we'll go from there.
See, Michael, he should have been listening to the show because albeit kind of jokingly yesterday, we were talking so much about how the public just got crushed this past week. And every time you saw a betting split where 70-80% of the money and handle was on one side, the other side ended up winning. That's exactly what we had last night with the 49ers and the Vikings who come through as an underdog winning on the money line.
Yep. Okay. So on Friday of last week, I went through it. 85% of the money was on the Browns. 82% of the money was on the Bills. 82% of the money was on the 49ers. 81 on the Bucks. 80 on the Lions. 73 on the Rams. 73 on the Jags. They won. 73 on the Raiders. 73 on the Commanders. 71 on the Packers. What you're looking at right there is a total disaster.
Oof.
Right there. If you bet that, if you were any one of those people in one of those 9 or 10 bets right there, I mean, you were 1-9.
Gosh, rough. And on a short slate week too with all the buys, that's brutal, brutal,
1-9. So again, you know, before you turn the ticket in, ask yourself, do I really want to be on the side of the public? Do I really want to be here? Do I really want to be there? I don't think you do. But, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't because there are some situations out there that, you know, like this morning when I go through the lines, it's like you look at it and you say, okay. Like, for example, I would have thought the Rams would have had more love in this week's line. Okay, I know we got to get to some news and notes here, but it opened at 6. It moved to 5.5. I thought for sure, you know, there would have been a lot more money coming in on the Rams. But so far, you know, so far this week, no one seems to be interested in betting Tampa, Cleveland, the Chiefs, Carolina, the Giants, and Washington. And the Rams are kind of borderline.
Yeah. Well, that again, just I think reinforces the picks page, the betting splits page that we have here at VSiN.com. That much more important just to help you kind of form some opinions as you are looking at the slate each and every week. And as we finish talking about the Monday night football game from last night with the 49ers and Vikings, I wonder if with the trade deadline coming up in a week, if the 49ers might try to go out there and get someone. We just saw the Philadelphia Eagles, who are kind of the number one challenger for supremacy in the NFC, go out and get Kevin Byard yesterday from the Texans in exchange for Terrell Edmonds and picks. And so I just wonder from that standpoint, what you thought about this deal specifically. They go out and get a two-time All-Pro in the back end for Philadelphia, an area of need for them. We know they've had some injuries there. Reed Blankenship's been out the last couple of weeks as well. And on the flip side, a team like the Titans that is officially saying with this move in my mind, okay, we know that we're out this year.
Well, the Titans know that, you know, basically they were not making any plays on the football as it was with Byard in their secondary, right? They've had two interceptions all year. They're one of the lowest teams in the interception. I think they're 31st in the league in creating interceptions. You know, teams throw the ball pretty much at will on them. And remember, this was a player that they went to get a contract negotiation to reduction. And he didn't want to take a reduction. They were going to cut him. They kind of agreed to a redo contract. And I think eventually now that it's happened, it's okay. I probably need to go. With Blankenship being hurt, they need somebody in the back end to kind of get them organized, get them aligned properly. And I think he can do that. Byard's a really good, smart player. Is he the same player he was 4 years ago? No. But he'll certainly help them and give them the experience they need to settle down that back end. Here's the concern you have. I mean, everybody talks about Bradbury playing great. Everybody talking about, like, people can throw the football on this secondary, whether they have Slay, Bradbury, it doesn't matter. The question is you can't get time enough to throw the ball. Their rush is still too good.
Yeah, so great points all around. And I do think that he'll be a welcomed addition, and he's probably got to be stoked. Like, I leave a bad situation in Tennessee. Granted, he's been there for a lot of years. He has roots there. I know he went to Middle Tennessee for college. So, you know, he loves the area, doing great things in the community. But now you leave a bad situation in a team that's going downward fast for an opportunity at a ring, and you're going back to the place where you were born and raised. I think that's pretty cool for Kevin in this spot. But now let's look at the Titans side of this a little bit more. Because obviously they're kind of admitting at this point that they're not going to go to the playoffs this year. Two wins this season. Ryan Tannehill's injured. We see the news from Mike Vrabel this morning that with Tannehill unavailable, he expects both Malik Willis and Will Levis to play this weekend against the Falcons. What was your first reaction when you heard that?
Well, I felt like there's no way he can play Malik Willis. The last time I saw Malik Willis, I was very comfortable knowing that he wasn't going to allow them to get a touchdown because I was on the Colts in that game with Russo, and I didn't need him to cover. I was on the Ravens, excuse me. I didn't need him to get a touchdown to cover, and he didn't. And they kicked the field goal, which was the smart play. I mean, he's got to take a look at these guys. Rand Carthon, the general manager, they draft Levis. They got to take a look at him. I mean, Tannehill's, you know, they didn't redo Tannehill's contract this year or guarantee his base salary because they don't want any acceleration leaving him. They want to get rid of all that. And so they're not going to, you know, they know they need a quarterback of their future, and they better take a look at these two guys before they move forward. I don't think it will be Willis. There's no way you could play a whole game with Willis. I think what Vrabel's doing is some statesmanship, gamesmanship, if you will, because if he says it's Levis, you know, then you don't have to worry about Willis. But if he says it's both, as a defensive coordinator for the Falcons, you better get ready for a lot of quarterback runs, and you better get ready for some dropback passes because he could have both quarterbacks play. And it's probably the smart thing. On some short yardage plays, put Willis out there, make him the running back, and see what Levis can do in terms of situation throwing the football. The problems come into this Tennessee team lacks an offensive line. They struggle there, and they've struggled to protect Tannehill. I mean, that's where Baltimore created so much problems. Everybody has been able to exploit their offensive line, even though they paid over $10 million a year to Andre Dillard at left tackle. He's been an issue. Chris Hubbard's bounced around the league quite a bit. He's their right tackle. Skronsky, they drafted in the first round. We'll see how it goes. I mean, they've already benched Dillard. I mean, they put Petit Ferry in there at left tackle, and we know how he played last year, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think of that's the same way I think of the Bengals offense and all the money and things that they've invested from that standpoint, and it just hasn't bore fruit to this point. For Tennessee, what you said about the quarterbacks, I think that makes a lot of sense. If you don't have to show your hands right now, why would you? So just set the table that, hey, either one of these guys could go. We might see them both, whatever. But as the picture as a whole for the Titans, like, could this be a full-blown fire sale moving forward with the trade deadline coming up? Could we see Derrick Henry going somewhere else? D-Hop's only on a two-year deal. Could he get shipped out? Some of these other names be on their way out the door in Tennessee?
I mean, I would think D-Hops would say, like, why don't you just trade me? Like, he signed there, and, you know, I mean, is he going to go through another season where they're going to tear it down? I mean, Henry, as I said to you in the break, you made a great point about Dallas. I mean, if you trade for Henry, you're committing to a run game. And your immediate answer was, well, maybe Dallas would do that. To give them a little bit of that, you know, that power and flash with Pollard and Henry run the outside zone. That makes sense. I think they'll listen. I definitely think they'll listen. Look, defensively, their secondary is a mess. They've got a lot to fix there. The defensive line is the strength of their team, but when Tart doesn't play, he's been injured. We'll see if he'll play this week. You can actually run the football. They don't have any depth. So they've got the great Jeffrey Simmons, who they just redid his contract. They'll build around him. The one thing we do know with Vrabel, he'll coach. They're not tanking, and that's what I wrote about. They're not going to tank. They're going to compete, but they just don't have enough weapons to really make it happen.
Yeah, he's going to continue to coach hard. The team's going to keep playing hard. They've been known, I feel like, under Mike Vrabel to outplay what they actually have out there on the football field more often than not. So, yeah, completely agree from that standpoint. Again, the Titans are getting 2.5 at home this week against the Falcons. Who we will see more of at quarterback to be determined, but from our standpoint, probably Will Levis more. The total in that game, 36.5. We have so much more news and notes here still to get to around the NFL. Some quarterback updates, which includes the Deshaun Watson saga having yet another wrinkle, which continues to blow my mind. We will be right back here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College basketball is about to tip off, and now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. This year's guide has Matt Youmans' top 25 rankings, who could be this season's Florida Atlantic, all 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Award candidates, futures, and season-long prop bets. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $120 and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. That's all college basketball, season-long, March Madness, and beyond. For only $120, sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. FAU and San Diego State both making the Final Four this past year was pretty dang cool. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you, and we'll continue to go through some of the marquee news and notes around the National Football League, which, Michael, I'm sure you saw this morning. An unexpected report with regard to Saints wide receiver Chris Olave, who is arrested yesterday under suspicion of reckless operation of a motor vehicle. He was processed out within a couple hours. I haven't seen any official comments from the Saints organization yet, but according to Kenner police, he was driving 70 in a 35 mile an hour zone, not too far from where the team facility is. And his brother Josh posted on Twitter, "Bro was headed back to the crib from CVS. Ain't nothing serious," in response to the report.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you got to be really extra careful. I think we saw the Chiefs too. I mean, you know, the Ross, the receiver, he was arrested for damaging and domestic violence. Not with someone there. So Justin Ross, so they're probably going to have to do something with him. And, you know, I mean, this is what you have to be really careful of during the season is, look, the most important goal is to win. And you can't let your off-the-field habits affect winning.
Yeah, and I mean, winning has not been particularly easy for the Saints to this point. And we were talking earlier about the issues that Derek Carr has had moving the ball downfield. Saints have now lost back-to-back games in four of their last five heading into this week against the Indianapolis Colts. They're getting 1.5 points in this spot. But I mean, the Colts, kind of a weird team. I don't know what they are, because I didn't expect Gardner Minshew to do what he did last week. That's for darn sure.
Well, he turned it over for you. You expected that.
But I didn't expect them to go toe-to-toe with the Browns defense. That's what I meant. I agree.
I'm not sure he went. I mean, they did everything in their power. They handed them the game. They gave them 20 points off turnovers and ridiculous play calling. And then, you know, you can't stop P.J. Walker at the end of the game. I mean, you're playing cover four and cover two. Like, at some points, heat them up. Like, I mean, this is what drives me crazy. I mean, every time, I mean, we watched Minnesota come back off them. All they did, Indianapolis, in that game, all they did was play palms and two. Palms, two, palms, two, palms. Like, seriously, at some point, Gus Bradley, you know, they built this whole program in Indianapolis around keeping you as the coordinator. Do you realize this? Like, the whole idea was we have to keep Bradley, so we'll hire an offensive coach. And, you know, and this is what you're looking at.
P.J. Walker, by the way, 2 weeks in a row, he's led the Browns on game-winning drives. So there you go. Not sure I had that on my bingo card. But I also didn't have this Deshaun Watson freaking saga with the injury rolling on for another week, Michael, because he's apparently day-to-day once again with this shoulder, and injured reserve is potentially on the table. Head coach Kevin Stefanski.
I saw that.
Yeah, so he was saying that he had to get an MRI yesterday, which was not on the radar at all, because in the game when he got hit, he was questioned about concussion protocol, got cleared, and then just sat out the rest of the way. I didn't know there was any questions about the shoulder still happening.
Well, you got to believe that when he landed, he did. I mean, look, I've been defending him as a player, not as a person, as a player. Kept thinking it was going to come around. And that game the other day, I don't know how you could really sit there, and if you're Jimmy Haslam and you gave this guy the first guaranteed contract in the history of the NFL, fully guaranteed contract, and you're watching him play, that he's actually throwing this season, I went through it this morning, he's throwing for a lower touchdown percentage than he did last year. Now, he slightly has improved his percent of accuracy, but not much. Not much. And really, there's nothing he's done that is different than last year. Like, what we're seeing is pretty much the same. Last year, if you just go by quarterback rating, he was a 79.1. This year, he's 80.9. I mean, yards per attempt last year was 6.5. This year, he's 6.4. You know, so there's nothing here. Yards per catch, he was at 11.1 last year. He's at 10.3. Yards per game, he was at 187 last year. This year, he's at 170. When they traded for him, he was averaging 8.9 yards per attempt, 12.6 yards per catch, 301 yards per game. I mean, they got a lemon. I mean, don't we have lemon laws here in this country? I mean, can we call it in? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, the Browns are probably like, I have my return receipt.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? I print labels out for Millie every day. Can't we send it back? Like, seriously.
You're absolutely right. And $230 million in guaranteed money, and you've gotten a player this season who has played in four, really more like three, of your seven games to this point. You talk about the improved accuracy, Michael, and it's still only just over 61%, which is like 26th in the National Football League in terms of completion percentage. On the year, for you combine P.J. Walker and Deshaun Watson, what the Browns have actually got on the field, dead last in the NFL in QBR and passer rating this season. So it's been bad. They've still won games here, which is credit to them as a team and a defense to be able to do that to this point and squeaking one out last week against the shorthanded Colts. But I would be livid if I was a Browns fan and my team went out and did all this for Deshaun Watson, and this is what we've got. Lemon is the perfect way to describe it. Now, also, apparently, they're going to be a little bit more shorthanded because Jerome Ford, their running back, has a low-grade high ankle sprain. That's likely going to hold him out for the next 2 weeks as well, just for an update there. Browns are getting 3 in Seattle this week, total 40 against the Seahawks.
That line started at 2.5, and all the money's come in. Everything on the early betting window that we believe are people that bet professionally for a living or syndicates, they jumped on the Chargers number, they jumped on Philly, they jumped on Denver, they jumped on Seattle, and they jumped on Houston. And so it doesn't surprise me that this is going on. I mean, I don't know. I want to take Cleveland. There's no money on Cleveland, and it's a good matchup. I don't know the way Geno Smith has played in relative terms to last year hasn't been very good either. He had an easy chance. He's made so many mistakes throwing the ball to the other team that was so unlike him. His percentage of accuracy is down. I don't know how you take him. I don't know. No one's betting the Browns. No one, like I said earlier in the show, no one's betting the Browns, so it's hard. There's more to meet the eye. I mean, I know for me, just body language, this is just my instincts watching the game. Stefanski felt like Walker gave him a better chance to win. It had nothing to do with risk and injury. I think he felt like Walker gives me a better chance to win. And I can't get the sense if his teammates are connected to him or not. The defense is connected to their defensive coordinator. You can tell that.
Well, Michael, that's why I'm still so mad at myself when we were previewing the game going into it. I was like, well, Deshaun Watson, maybe not a big upgrade from what we've seen so far this season, but still an upgrade over PJ Walker. And then what does he proceed to go out and do? Go 1 of 5 with an interception, nearly 2 before getting yanked anyways. In Kevin Stefanski's mind, he's just like, okay, well, maybe actually PJ Walker is the better option today. And he was. And it's just, it's absurd when you think about what Deshaun Watson was before the long layoff and everything that happened with him off the field. You think about the greatness that he showed at the position, MVP candidate type stuff. To what we're getting right now is just wild. Other quick quarterback updates. Josh McDaniels says he is hoping that Jimmy Garoppolo can get back against the Lions. Do have a longer week with Monday Night Football this week, but still nothing firm there after he missed the Week 7 game against the Bears. And then on the Bears side of things, Matt Eberflus saying still doubtful with Justin Fields dealing with a dislocated thumb this week against the Chargers. So we can expect another Tyson Bagent performance this week against the Chargers.
Yeah, I would think so. And look, I think if you like the Chargers here, this number is going to continue to move, tick, because I think what we saw was kind of like the one shining moment. And the one thing we know, this is not an easy matchup for the Chargers, for the Bears. I mean, their secondary will struggle. The line in some spots has gone up to 9. And I think these are the kind of games Herbert will play well in. And they'll light up the Chicago secondary with down the field throws. So I don't know if that 9's going to scare many people.
I was putting together some just notes on that game earlier today and found it very interesting. In the Matt Eberflus era, the Bears have not been able to cover back-to-back games before. They haven't been able to do it. And so the Chargers line continues to grow in this spot despite them dropping their last 2 games.
And let me throw this out to you on the Charger line. Anthony Lynn, who there was no coach who was criticized more by everybody at our network, by everybody all over the NFL, than Anthony Lynn. He's 33-31 as a Charger head coach with a playoff victory. Boy wonder who goes for it on fourth down, right? Who nobody criticized. The analytical community loves him, right? He makes all the right moves. Pro Football Focus had him as one of the best coaches in football. Remember that. Now, don't think I forgot that. Okay, he's 22, he's 21-19.
We are the presidents of the Brandon Staley Haters Club.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up, VEGAS, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. You can use it in the NFL. You can use it for the NBA, which is getting underway later on tonight, to help us talk over all things sports that are going on right now because it is a hectic time of year in the best possible way. Michael and I welcome into the show Will Hill, VSiN contributor, part of the gambling group chat as well on the Bear Bets pod with Chris Felica and Fox Sports. Welcome in, Will. How are we doing today, my friend?
what's going on? It's hard for me to believe the NBA season is starting. It feels like it was like a couple days ago that the season was ending. I can't believe it's here already. Of course, Devin Booker might not play. Bradley Beal might not play, or he's out. Draymond Green's out. So we're in mid-season form already with the NBA, but it's hard to believe it's here.
Yeah, I mean, I would suspect Embiid won't play tonight either for load management. You know, you got to make sure he's, you know, he's had all off season. Let's go load management here. I'm shocked there hasn't been 12 guys now out for load management. It's important.
Oh, I mean, it's crazy. Their regular season is so broken. Look, if we can bet it, if we can make money off it, that's what we're all about. But, man, they've got some serious issues with their regular season for sure.
Well, do you have any opinion on the doubleheader that we have tonight? I know you just mentioned some guys that are potentially unavailable, but we got Lakers, Nuggets, and Suns, Warriors today. So some marquee franchises on display for night one.
I have no bets. I have such little interest in betting this. Like, I have no appetite to, you know, try to figure out who's playing, who's not. I made some season-long bets. I bet the Clippers plus 200 to miss the playoffs just because they're one of these teams. They're two guys that Kawhi and Paul George are always hurt. They never play. So as far as night to night, like, you know, we got guys, this network, JVT, a lot of these guys do a good job with it. I'm not there yet. I am not ready. I need some time for sure.
Valid. The NBA betting guide, by the way.
I don't know how. You got to use the, Stormy, you got to use the guide. I mean, I think that's so important, as Will said, because, I mean, for me, my brain can't handle 32 NFL teams and college, let alone come and dip into this. Let JVT's brain help you.
Mm-hmm. And Will, meanwhile, we talk about all the injuries with the NBA just to start the season, but I feel like that's what we have in the NFL right now, to be honest, as well, across the board. All these quarterback injuries, different guys going down, not knowing who's going to be in when until later on in the week. That said, early in the week this week, are there any lines that you just look at and automatically wanted to take a play on here quick?
I bet a few already. I bet under 36.5 Jets Giants. I just think if you look at the Giants, their last two games, 14-7, 14-9, them versus the Jets, I don't see too many explosive plays. I think they'll both be conservative. I like it better for my bet if Tyrod Taylor plays, because he's conservative. He'll manage the game. He's not going to turn it over. He's not going to make big plays either way. Jets will be conservative and probably play a field position game too. I just think that's like a 19-16, 16-13 type of game. It's going to be hard for either of those teams to sustain offense. I think the Giants will have trouble blocking the Jets front. Jets, you know, aren't going to score that many points on the Giants, who played good defense. So to me, that's a low scoring game. So I did play under Jets Giants here.
All right, so last night, I know you flew back in after calling the game for Kevin O'Connell for your Vikings last night, but now that line has moved to a pick'em in some spots, but you took Minnesota minus the point.
They were plus one. I just looked a few minutes ago, they were plus one again. I mean, plus one, minus one, it matters a little bit, but I was just surprised. I think the wrong team's favored. Minnesota, I think this is a good matchup for them. They're just a better team. I think Flores against still a young, inexperienced quarterback with Love, who's only got, five or six starts under his belt. I think that's a good matchup for Minnesota. Minnesota's going to move the ball on anybody. And look, I was wrong. I came on here a couple weeks ago. They were 1-4. Jefferson was hurt. I said, you know what? They're probably going in the wrong direction here. If you look, they've won two games since. It wasn't pretty against the Bears, but that was an impressive win last night, especially on offense, really both sides of the ball. And now the schedule gets pretty easy. I mean, it's a lot of soft games coming up where at plus 165, like, it wouldn't be crazy. It's hard to get to seven teams in the NFC to make the playoffs. I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't know that they'll catch the Lions for the division, but I like them this week. And I think, you know what, I know they have no Jefferson, but Addison looks like a good player. The offensive line's better than it has been in past years. The Vikings might get a wild card here, which is just, I would have never thought that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw 2-1 at DraftKings.
Well, right now,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, but right now, Will, the seventh wild card is your Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield. So why not the Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, you start to count off the teams in your head. Like, all right, two teams from the NFC East, an NFC South. You give the Niners the West. Maybe Seattle gets another wild card. It's hard to get to that 6th, 7th team. It's just, you know what, with these extra playoff spots and all these extra leagues, it's just, you know, sometimes you get a spot that's just wide open. And I don't know, do you trust the Rams, the Vikings? It's like you said, Tampa Bay, it's not easy to find seven NFC teams in terms of the playoffs. So it might be Minnesota here.
Yeah, that was my whole argument earlier, because I saw 2-1 on DraftKings for them to make the playoffs. And I was looking at their schedule, which, granted, like, we can't plug and play W's in the win column for any teams this year, right? Especially not the Vikings, don't get me wrong. But the schedule is soft, appears to be opportunities. And it's like, I trust them more than the third team in the NFC East. I trust them more than the second team in the NFC South. And so all things seem to be coming up Vikings. I worry that we might be too prisoner of the moment because of what a week-to-week league that this has been. And we see what they did against the San Francisco 49ers yesterday and are like, hey, they're on the up and up. We know Kirk Cousins doesn't want to go anywhere after all. They're not going to give up at the trade deadline because they're 3-4 all of a sudden. Like, that's my one worry, is that we're just too much looking at what they did against San Francisco and the Bears the last 2 weeks.
The path is there. The schedule's there. The talent's there. But it is the Vikings. It is still the Vikings. It is still Kirk Cousins. So you have to keep that in mind. You can never trust them. They were dying to give the game away last night, kicked a long field goal. I thought Purdy was going to stick it in the end. I think, you know, people looking to jump on Purdy, just, you know, he has one bad quarter, a couple bad passes, and people want to discredit him. I think that's crazy.
They're haters.
Yeah, they are. They really are. I think the path is there for Minnesota.
Well, it's the Trey Lance group. They hate on Purdy because they want Lance to be good. It's just not. No, seriously, that's what it is. You just got to ignore the noise. I mean, there's, you know, it's funny. Everybody wants a coach to get fired. You know, Kyle Shanahan was, I think he won 10 games his first 2 years in the league. Kyle Shanahan's 9 games over .500 as a head coach. And you think we're going to build a shrine for him in somewhere. I think he's a great head coach, but, you know, I don't think it was a smart play to let Steve Wilks called zero blitz at the end of the half. But besides that, he's a great offensive mind. But at some point, you just can't keep fire. There's no coaches out there. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day. You fire Coach Y, who are you hiring? Who are you hiring? Nobody has names.
Right.
Nobody has names. It's hard.
I'm sure
so
the Detroit offensive you better off coordinator making the guy you get. But yeah.
Yeah, Ben.
Yeah, and
Ben
he might not take one based on the situation. Right. Yeah.
No, I love this. Food for thought moving forward. Absolutely. You do have another bet, though, that I want to make sure that we touch on here these last couple of minutes, Will, because we saw the move with the Tennessee Titans shipping off Byard to the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday ahead of the trade deadline and potentially could open the door for them to continue getting rid of assets and building for the future moving forward. So you're looking at a Titans in-season total under for those 7.5 wins.
Yeah, I just don't see them getting to 8 wins. You hit on a lot of the reasons. If you're going to trade one good player, there's probably more moves to come. Tannehill's hurt. He's dealing with a high ankle. He's probably not going to play this week. I know Vrabel usually keeps the team competitive, but he's talking about playing two quarterbacks. You know, we're going to play Willis and we're going to play Levis. I just don't like the sound of that. I mean, we've seen enough of Willis. Who knows what we'll see with Levis. I think this is probably a rebuild. You trade some guys. Maybe you think about trading Henry and just, you know what, it's a good quarterback class. We see what we have in Levis. And you know what, if we take our lumps along the way, so be it. I just don't know with the direction they're going in, Henry's age, the roster. I think that's a bad offense. I don't see that team getting to 8 wins. So I like under 7.5 wins here for the Titans.
You know, I wrote about, I don't think it's not a intentional tank in the NFL. If you're playing Malik Willis and Will Levis, you're tanking. And if your defense can't cover anybody and you're playing those guys at quarterback, you're tanking no matter if you have Jeffrey Simmons or not. And I think that's ultimately, as much respect as I have for Vrabel, it'll be hard.
Will, we've only got about 90 seconds, but since you're taking this win total under, where do you sit on the Vikings at 7.5 then? If you think they're going to make the playoffs, you go over. Can they get over their preseason 8.5? Because that one I'm still sweating out and would really like you to say yes.
They could. I mean, the schedule's there. If I had to, I'd honestly play over. I don't trust them. They played better than the record. They're probably a little better with Flores. I really like what Flores has done. It's really strange. It's the complete inverse of last year where you feel like they're a little better than the record. Last year, they weren't as good as the record. So at 7.5, you look at the schedule, it's so doable. I guess I would play over.
See, okay, that's what I'm thinking. If we're thinking that we can get the playoffs there, that means they would have to get over.
Stormy. You just want anybody to you just want them to be told you're going to be okay. That's all. You're so perfect
bias
to be a Philly
yes
fan. It's perfect. You should come back for the game. All you know.
I am
perfect.
I am all for the positivity, Michael. Okay, that's what I'm here for. And I do feel bad that the 76ers do have to open up against the Milwaukee Bucks. So I will give you that. Going to do it. Appreciate your time, Will. You're awesome.
All right. See you. Thanks for having me.
And how about Giannis, by the way? The max extension yesterday as well. So he's staying put.
Yeah, no wonder why they traded for Dane, right?
I was gonna say we thought as much
together, right?
Exactly, we thought as much.
Now
when
we have
Dame
oh,
time
you didn't even bring
by
it up. How about the New York Post rumor today? There was a rumor. I think it happened out of Philadelphia. Keith Pomeroy. out of the Inquirer. Embiid, what the Knicks are willing to pay for Embiid.
Yep, if Joel wants to leave Philly, there's a door opening with the Knicks potentially. We're resetting with hour two when we come back. Don't go anywhere.